Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We're so blessed that you listen each week to our messages. It is our prayer here at the Seed that you come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, go in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith. Know, grow, go, and sow. Those are some really powerful action words. And we would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific time here in Rancho Cucamonga, California. Our address is 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho. If you can't come, and I know many of you can't, you can always join our live stream at 9 a.m. Pacific time. Go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream. You can chat, you can offer up prayers, you can introduce yourself, you can ask questions, you can grow in grace. If you miss those opportunities, you can always go to our YouTube channel at YouTube, and it's called The Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed, S-E-E-D, you know, growing in grace. I have an early so what question. How's your heart? How's your heart? Is your heart prepared for Christmas? Today, we're going to look at preparing our hearts for Christmas through the eyes of Joseph, a young man whose dreams, thoughts, and plans were drastically altered by God. Joseph had his life all planned out. He was going to marry Mary. That sounds funny, Mary, Mary. He was going to marry Mary, raise a family, build a great carpentry business, take a yearly vacation to Jerusalem, grow old and retire and enjoy his grandchildren. What happens when God changes Joseph's well-laid plans and dreams? Before we hear God's word for us today, let us pray. May God's word be alive and redemptive right here, right now. May God's living word shape us and mold us and fashion us into the children of God that we're being called to do and become. God, help us this week to learn from Joseph, whose life you drastically altered. Help us to trust what you're doing in our lives. Amen. The Old Testament reading comes from Isaiah chapter 7, 10 through 14. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, "Ask, and a sign of the Lord your God, let it be deep as Sheol, as high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary mortals that you weary my God also?" Verse 14. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel." Now, turn in your New Testaments to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. Wow. This passage is rich with deep theological themes. The virgin birth, the name of the Messiah, the fulfillment of the promise from the prophet Isaiah. We could spend weeks looking into the significance of the virgin birth. Why is it important to understand that Christ is fully divine and fully human? The author of this gospel book is Matthew, and he was one of Jesus' disciples, called from his tax collecting booth, well, another life drastically altered, into Christ's ministry. Matthew, whose name was Levi, was the first 16 verses of this gospel to clarify. He uses the first 16 verses of this gospel to clarify and establish the human side of Christ by listing the genealogy of Christ. Our thoughts are now bent turned to how the Holy Spirit implants the seed of the Son of God in Mary's virgin womb. Folks, these are deep theological discussions all around the world. As I prayed about the message this week, the Holy Spirit impressed upon me to look at the promise found in the name Emmanuel, God with us. There was a little family with a nativity set, and each Christmas season they would set the nativity up beneath the Christmas tree. Included in the nativity was the obvious cast of characters. There was the baby Jesus in the creche. There was Mary. There was an assorted animals, donkeys, cows, and chickens arranged around. There were wise men. You could tell who the wise men were because they were carrying gifts and wore crown. There were shepherds and of various ages and sizes, some of them older, some of them younger. But just as it had been at some nativity sets, there were some extra figures, and no one knew exactly the identity of these extra figures. This particular family of children played a game every Christmas. Which one is Joseph? Some of them said it was an old man leaning on his staff. The more romantic ones in the family said Mary wouldn't want a crotchety old man like that. So their Joseph was a young shepherd with broad shoulders, and they would debate each year which character Joseph was. In reality, Joseph truly is a forgotten man of Christmas. He is silent. Surprisingly, Joseph doesn't say a word in Scripture. He is like, well, an extra, a kind of minor character that gets a credit at the end of the movie in the cast of characters. No one has ever considered him central or significant to the story of Christmas. Joseph says nothing. He is silent, but obedient. In the entire Bible, we are told very little about Joseph, the husband of Mary. All that is said about him can be summed up in a few words. Joseph was a righteous man, a son of David, from the tribe of Judah. Joseph lived in Nazareth and was a carpenter like his father. Have you ever really thought about Joseph? Let's enter into the story. I always say, put yourself in the story and put the story in you. Let's enter into the story. Joseph had just been promised his bride. Joseph and his father had gone to the home of Mary's father and negotiated the bride price. In the Jewish culture, the father of the groom and the groom paid a substantial bride price to the bride's family. This dowry was equivalent to the price of a new home. In fact, here's how the negotiation worked. After the negotiation was complete, the groom-to-be would go back to his father's house and build a house or an add-on to his dad's house, a separate home, but an extension of the already existing home. Does this sound familiar? In the Bible, Jesus is referred to as the bridegroom, and we are the church. We, the church, are mentioned as the bride of Christ. In John 14, Jesus tells his disciples that he must go to his father's house and build a place for us, because in his father's house are many rooms. Well, back to Joseph. What was going on in his mind? He was at his father's house preparing a place for his lovely bride. He was working, planning, dreaming about his future and the life he and Mary would have together. What were his hopes and dreams? What was he thinking about? How many children would they have? Would they be all boys? or would we have, or would he have a few girls? Was he hoping to build up his father's business so that they could have camels and lots of sheep? Was Joseph dreaming of taking annual vacations to the Sea of Galilee? Was he hoping and dreaming of taking the family down to Jerusalem for the yearly festival of Passover? Joseph was a pretty happy man at this point in life. He was going to be married and his life was looking good. And then one day, it all came crashing down. Mary was pregnant. How could this be? What would people think? What would people say? His beautiful bride-to-be was pregnant? Mary told him about her encounter with the angel Gabriel and what the angel said. Mary, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you, Mary. Don't be afraid. You're going to be with a child. Name him Jesus. He will be called the Son of the Most High. Nothing is impossible for God, Mary. Does Joseph believe Mary? No, his dreams are shattered. His hopes are dashed. What happens next in this story? The word says that Joseph was a righteous man. Instead of making Mary's pregnancy public, Joseph decides to dismiss her. The Greek word Matthew uses is apulo, to set aside or put away or dismiss. It is the common word used in their culture for divorce. Joseph did not want to disgrace Mary. She could be stoned for turning up pregnant and not married. Joseph loved her deeply. He did not believe Mary, so he decided to set her aside, put her away, and dismiss her. Dreams are shattered. Dreams are shattered. So what? How many of us feel like Joseph? Have our dreams or have your dreams been shattered? Maybe you have lost your dream home. Maybe you can't get ahead or stay ahead. Maybe your health is an area of concern. Maybe you've been dealing with depression or anxiety. Maybe there's a relationship in your life that's been broken and you wonder if it will ever be repaired. Maybe your dream job has been eliminated and you're looking for employment. We are living in a time when dreams are being shattered right and left, and maybe it's your turn to be on the chopping block. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. We would love to have our prayer team pray for you. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the prayer icon and our prayer team will pray for you, especially now if your dreams have been shattered. Back to our story. Joseph does what all good, brokenhearted people do. He goes to bed. Nothing but a good old-fashioned hibernation sleep can't help. Pull up the covers, hit the hay, lights out, take the NyQuil, forget about the world, sleep it away. We've all been there. Fall into bed and pull the covers over your head. Forget about it. For just a little while, Joseph finally gets into some REM sleep, and an angel shows up in his dream. Joseph! Son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. In the length of a dream, God reshapes Joseph's life. Drastically different from plan A is plan B. B for baby. Let's notice the pattern. God sent an angel to Joseph in a dream and took those smashed and shattered dreams and reshaped them. Something good from something seemingly bad or impossible. Can you imagine what happened when Joseph woke up? Joseph heard from the Lord through an angel in his dreams. Did you notice that what Joseph does in verse 24, if you have your Bible? When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. He had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and Joseph named the baby Jesus. When Joseph woke up from his pull the covers over your head and sleep the world away dream, he got up and did exactly what the angel told him to do. He didn't talk it over with his dad. He didn't ask his friends for advice. He didn't go to work and take a poll on what everyone thought. He went and took Mary as his wife. Remember the home he built? He went and got Mary and brought her home to live with him. He didn't care what others would say when they found out she was pregnant. Joseph had been visited by an angel in a dream. Mary, I love you. Come home with me. Be my wife. I get it. An angel visited me too. We're naming our son Jesus. And just like that, Joseph was given a new dream and a new promise. The baby is from the Holy Spirit, and you shall name him Jesus, and they shall call him Emmanuel, God with us. As soon as Joseph woke up from his dream, he was off and running. Think about obedience. Talk about obedience. I always say there are three kinds of obedience: disobedience, delayed obedience, and instant obedience. Talk about instant obedience, from shattered dreams to dreams fulfilled. Not like Joseph thought, not like he had planned, better than he could ask or imagine. How about us? What does Joseph teach us to prepare our hearts for Christmas? Here's your so what, a mission. God is with us. Do we really believe this good news? Emmanuel, God is with us, that we find right here in Matthew chapter 1. Earlier in today's message, I asked you how your heart is. Are you prepared for Christmas? Are you not there yet? Are you still in the Christmas is so much work phase? Are you worrying about the bills of Christmas, let alone the bills of the month? Are you playing the part of Scrooge instead of Joseph? Tune into the story. Talk about Scrooge. Joseph pulled up the covers and said, when I wake up from this nightmare, I'll go tell Mary that I'm cutting her loose. That's my paraphrase. Okay, we don't know what he thought, but when the angel came to Joseph in his dreams, the word was, fear not. The message wasn't, don't be too proud to obey God. Don't be too disgusted. Don't be too angry. Don't be too hurt. Don't be too ashamed. The word that came to him was, stop being afraid of obedience. An angel in a dream changed his entire mindset. When Joseph woke up, he said, I am going to marry Mary. And off he went to get her. What about us? Are we doing what we are supposed to be doing? Are you a little bit like Joseph, trying to pull the covers up over your head instead of doing what you're supposed to do? Nabil Qureshi, a Muslim convert to Jesus Christ, had a resolutely Muslim friend named Sahar, who was attracted to parts of Christianity but couldn't accept the idea of God becoming a human being. And on one occasion, she honestly asked her friend Nabil, how can you believe Jesus is God if he was born through the birth canal of a woman and that he had to use the bathroom? Aren't these things beneath God? Qureshi affirmed her question and then asked her one in turn. Sahar, let's say that you are on your way to a very important ceremony and are dressed in your finest clothes and you're about to arrive just on time. Then you see your daughter in a pool of mud. What would you do? Would you leave her to be so you could arrive looking dignified? Or would you rescue her but arrive at the ceremony covered in mud? Her response was, well, matter of fact, of course I would jump in the mud and save her. Nuancing the question just a little bit, Qureshi asked her, let's say there were others with you. Would you send someone else to save her, or would you save her yourself? She responded, if she is my daughter, how could I send anyone else? They would not care for her like I do. I would go myself, definitely. Qureshi said, if you, being human, love your daughter so much that you are willing to lay aside your dignity to save her, how much more can we expect of God? If he is our loving Father, to lay aside his majesty to save us. The biblical story of God eventually won Sahar's heart. As Qureshi responded, the message of God's selfless love that overpowered her. When she could no longer remain a Muslim, she had accepted Jesus as her Savior. All throughout the Bible are biblical stories. They are designed to find us where we are. It's the beauty of the living Word. Somewhere in the Bible, you will find a story or two that will resonate with where you are right now. These ancient words will transport from way back then to this moment of right now. Did you catch what the angel told Joseph? Mary, Mary, name the baby Jesus. Remember the prophet from old. Your son is going to be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. The so what for us today is the exact same. So what? As it was for Joseph. Put your name in the story. My name is Dave. Dave, it's going to be okay. I know this isn't what you planned. I know you don't have a clue why this is happening. But the baby's name is Jesus. He will save you from your sins. You shall call him Emmanuel, God with us. If your dreams have been shattered or drastically altered, remember, Emmanuel, God is with us. Don't be afraid. Emmanuel, God is with us. God will reshape your shattered dreams. Wake up and do what you know to do because Emmanuel, God is with us. God is with us. Say it with me. God is with us. God is with us. I may not fully understand why this side of heaven something is happening, but I trust that God is with me. This coming week, as you go about your life, look with Joseph's eyes. He didn't get to live his well-planned-out dream life. His dreams fell shattered on the dirt floor. But because of a baby named Jesus, God reshaped Joseph's dreams more than Joseph could have asked or imagined. I don't know where you're at in this Christmas season, this Advent season. The first Sunday, you know, at our church, we light the candle of hope. Hold on, pray every day. That's my acrostic. Hold on, pray every day, or heaven's one promise, Emmanuel. God is with us. God is with you, no matter where you're at. God knows where you're at. God knows where you've been. But more importantly, God knows where he wants to bring you. He's begun a good work in you, and he wants to complete that work. Emmanuel, God with us. God with me. Let's pray. Emmanuel, God with us. I lift up my hands to you. I give you my life. I give you my dreams. Reshape them. Reshape me. Give me Joseph eyes this week. Help me wake up. Help me to do what you asked me to do. Lord, prepare my heart for Christmas. In Jesus' mighty name, Emmanuel, God is with us. Amen. I want you to know that God is with you. God loves you, and so do I. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you this day and always. No matter what you face, no matter where you go, remember, Emmanuel, God is with us. God is with you. Have a blessed week. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.